And the gods of horror have just jizzed all over us.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
We're taking it in.
You know what's awesome? Is usually we have to do this like four or five times because on the equipment I have here, I have the intro music queued up on one of the little sound effect pads. And then I mute our mics or our lines. And then when I get into the intro and everything, and then I go to unmute the mics, I just push the button all over again to start the intro music all over again. So we have to wait like another like 20 seconds. And usually that happens like three or four times, but it didn't happen this time. So I'm proud of myself.
One step closer to getting all set up.
Yeah. You'd think 50 episodes in, three seasons, we'd be professional. We're getting there.
But baby we're steps. Not.
Baby steps. Baby steps. We may not be professional, but we're growing.
We're growing.
And, you know, for a long time, it's just been you and I, but we've had, you know, some really good supporters, people who have been down for the show since day one, people who've actually followed us since our YouTube days. Whew, that's taking it back, dude.
What? We got followers? What?
I mean, I cruise the YouTube page every once in a while, and there's like, I don't know if that following is growing. I think I have alerts when we get new followers on YouTube, and I haven't got an alert in a minute. So, but it makes sense. We haven't posted shit in there since Dirty Joe's interview when he was here in the studio. So, I don't know. Maybe that's something to kind of revisit down the line as we get a little bit bigger. But we'll see.
Yes, we will. Hopefully, like a dick that's ready to get erect, we'll start growing.
Oh, great. This is going to be another one of those episodes, huh? Nice. Excellent. I mean, you kind of laid the foundation with the god jizz, so I should have expected
that. I'm still fucking wet, bro. The gods of horror will always jizz upon us. Us and our listeners.
All right. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. The last couple of weeks we've posted some really good interviews, or at least that's the feedback that I've gotten from people, that they're really good interviews. And I feel like the people that we have interviewed are fucking awesome, especially Sam Curtin and Cast, right? And then before that was Chris Shern, who's got his Vic Effects movie coming out. And we got some more interviews lined up next week and the week after. And I'm trying to line one up with someone really fucking cool. So hopefully that'll come to fruition. So we've been making a ton of friends, right? We've been doing this thing for quite a long time. And we've been making a ton of friends, especially with getting on the YouTube and meeting new people there. And, you know, just kind of networking at social events. And it's been great. And the problem with it, though, is that you and I lead very full lives outside of the podcast, and sometimes it gets a little bit too voluminous for either one of us to handle at one particular time. So, you know, we've been talking about doing some bigger and better things with the podcast, with the Instagram, with our platform, albeit we're still very kind of small and junior, and we're still on the up, you know, coming up and whatnot. But I, you know, I think you and I both agree that it's about time for us to get some help, right? Bring in a helping hand and somebody to help, with, you know, promoting the stuff on the social platforms and helping with the editing and, you know, just kind of growing the podcast in general. And so I think we were both in agreement when we talked about it, that it was time to bring on a third.
Well, no, I mean, more along the lines of we have a mutual friend that we wanted to bring into the podcast, just to bring him in, you know. The guy's solid with his knowledge and stuff. He's a good friend of ours and stuff like that. It ain't even about the groundwork. It's just just to have our plus one.
All right, well, no further ado or whatever. I don't know. How does that saying go? No further ado?
Ado.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. I'll introduce Alan. He's our new Mutant City Horror Third. Alan, welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Did I use that that phrase right? I feel like you would know.
With no further ado, I believe is how it goes.
Is that what I said? I feel like
yeah,
I
felt like it was.
Yeah, all those words were, all the words were said, so it doesn't matter.
As long as they were said in no circumstantial order, or they were all there, so the meaning is all there.
That's the point. Regardless, at the end of the day, Alan is here, everybody. Alan,
welcome
everybody. Our new resident DJ, our new resident podcaster,
PJ
for Mutant City Horror.
Podcast jock, PJ?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. He's just another podcaster along with us two podcasters. So welcome home, buddy.
Thank you. I can't say that. I just have to say that from the beginning, like, I wanted to be involved. I didn't have the scope. Like, you guys were able to carve that time and scope into your lives. And now I do. So there I'm looking forward to really getting involved and engaged with all this awesomeness.
Hell yeah, man. It's going to be legit.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, so just some background. We've all been friends because Matt and I have known each other since like 95. And then so when I met you, Reedy, in 2000, maybe 2001, Matt and I were already friends. So like we've just all been friends ever since. So 20 plus years.
Why three best friends that anyone could have. There we go. Fuck yeah. He knows what I'm talking about.
We're converting this to a music podcast. Only bad singing, though.
It's the only kind I know how to do.
What are you talking about? I'm fucking Grammy nominated. Shit.
Well, that's why I said me. I don't know how to sing for shit. I can't even like yell right.
My butt flaps can do jingle bells.
So yeah.
Who's got the clap? We got the clap.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, that's a great soundtrack, by the way.
And if you guys don't know where that's from and the soundtrack,
get him to the Greek.
Oh man, I wasn't gonna tell him, man. I was gonna be like, you don't know your shit. God damn it.
That's what happens when you add a third, right? Someone's gonna go ahead and throw a cog in the wheel.
True that. I just wanted these guys to suffer just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I feel like our audience would know that.
Well, allow me to knock the rust off or get myself some skills. You guys have 50 plus episodes under your belt, so I apologize if you guys have to take a step back for a brief moment, but I will be working diligently to try to I don't know, have some 12 ounce curls in the future while we're doing this podcast so that I can step up my game.
You know what? We kind of like, I don't know, when we started it was just intent. It was, we just wanted to hang out and talk about the movies that we know, watch movies that we don't know, talk about those, have a couple cocktails, like super informal. I mean, it would be no different from like when the last time all of three of us hung out and just, you know, had drinks and just sat around and bullshitted. The only difference is we kind of walk through the movie so people can experience it for themselves, you know, but other than that, it should be just like picking up right where we left off.
You know it. So with that said, I thought it would be a good opportunity to kind of like talk about some of the movies that were our foundations. Like, what was the first horror movie that really like made you a fan of the genre?
Nice. What say you, Matt?
To me, I was going to say, who's going first? Who's going first? Come on. Who's going first? I'm going to need to think about that, sir. So go ahead.
Okay, I got it. Because it's not the first time I've talked about this. So it's less an actual, like, it was a made for TV movie. And it was Stephen King's It. And I remember I was still living in LA when I watched it. So I think it was just me and Tony at the moment. So I don't know, maybe Raymond was around. I don't know. He would have been. I guess it depends on what year that movie came out. Does anybody remember?
It was in the 90s. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm looking for it too.
I'm going to take a, it's got to be 90, 91. I don't know if it's
90. 90.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay. So I would have been 9, which means Raymond would have been 1. Yeah. So me. Okay. But I don't know why that's relevant other than.
So no Peter, no Raymond?
No, Raymond was there, but he was 1. Because Raymond was born Raymond in 89.
How old was Tony?
He would have been 7. And I would have been 9. Because I was born in 81. Tony was born in 83. So I watched this movie and it just scared the shit out of me. But I liked it. I fucking loved it.
I mean, what's so scary about a clown that lives underground that steals children's souls? Yeah. I don't see anything scary about that.
Especially
nothing. It was Tim Curry himself. It's just the actor.
Especially when you watch it.
You're telling me he wasn't scary on Congo? No, I'm just kidding. Or what Clue? Was it? Was it Clue? I was going to say Clue. Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching that movie. I don't know if I was by myself, but it was dark. It was nighttime and it was late. And it absolutely scared the shit out of me and I fucking loved it. I don't know what it is about loving the fact that I'm getting scared, but it stuck with me. So yeah, it was it. That was the one that got me started on all of it.
It was it. I like that.
What about you, Matt?
I really couldn't tell you where it started from. However, I knew as a kid, about the same age or a little bit younger, I was already well in tune with my slasher films. I actually don't even know who geared me towards these, but I was a big fan of Jason Voorhees growing up. Just love the genre. I love watching slasher films from the get-go. So it would have to start there somewhere. As far as my... you know what? When I was a youngster, I mean, I can say slasher films is where it started. Sure, why not? If you were asking me what scared me into the horror genre, it was not those. Though the sex and violence was more than enough to appease me, I would go with... you know, a movie that really did torment me deeply and to this day still holds up as one of the greatest and finest movies ever made was the original Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
I say that because this is a movie that gave me nightmares. It made me think a lot about like what's outside the window in the middle of the night. You know, are these creatures still trying to get in? Are they running around? And where are they coming from? I think just the whole aspect, the mystery of the what's going on and the unknowing. I don't know. It just had a very grim feel. I mean, you can chop it up to like, you know, horror today is not the same as when it first came out. In the times of this, horror was kind of an unknown, untouchable. It wasn't anything big. You wouldn't see it in big time Hollywood. It takes me back to those days of like, you know, like the old Twilight Zones and stuff like that. Like things that we can never comprehend and understand. And I don't know. I just think it kind of derived from there. And then I found a favorite, you know, style, which ended up being the slasher films. So it would definitely start in the slasher film genre, but like the whole fascination in horror came from the deep dark unknown, I'd say.
That's nice. A good one. Yeah. I guess since I posed the question, I probably did a little bit more thought about this. For me though, it was definitely Nightmare on Elm Street. I at that time I was way too young to be watching it, but my parents had like a connection at the local video store, and like they used to be able to, I don't know how or what deal, backdoor deals they had worked out with the store, but they got free rentals all the time, and I just beeline straight to the horror section. And what Nightmare on Elm Street had was it brought comedy with horror, and it was a full picture for me at the time. And I mean, I was maybe 5 years old, you know. And then after that, you know, a couple years later, Lost Boys came out, and like I think that solidified everything for me. Like we had like the Vampire Hunter Club as like kids, and I couldn't get enough of the genre. Like I couldn't. I absolutely tormented my sisters. Went to breakfast with them this morning and was like talking about it. And they're like, "We can't watch any of that stuff anymore. You ruined it all." Like forcing us to watch Candyman at like 2 a.m. and like it's just it was who I was. And it's exciting to be able to, you know, connect with people and talk about their bodies of work and how they're able to like create, you know, the genre and how wide and broad the genre is as a whole. Like I said, the comedy in Nightmare on Elm Street, or, you know, the first time I ever saw, you know, the guy ripping his face apart in Poltergeist, you know, in front of the mirror. Even though like, you know, today it would look a little different, I'm sure, with the practical effects, but I mean, or the movie House that you guys did in your, podcast a few weeks ago. Yeah. Remember House? I was waiting for part two forever, I felt like.
that was definitely a childhood favorite of mine for sure. You tackle it right there.
Yeah. And Creepshow. Oh man.
Dude, that was my jam. Like I love Tales from the Crypt, but like I feel like Creepshow just kind of took it up a notch.
Yeah, it added that humor effect.
Well, you got to understand, let's not forget. I mean, the movie had the greatest of greats at the steering wheel, right? You had fucking George Romero, and then you had fucking Stephen King. What can go wrong?
Nothing.
Maximum Overdrive? No. Just kidding. That was the one movie he directed.
The one movie that ended his career as a director, too. He said he'd never. He was so high on cocaine, and he would tell you, like, he was just like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck I was doing.
You know, I don't hate that movie.
I don't either.
I don't either, but apparently Stephen King did, so.
Well, yeah. I don't care. I still like, you know, I'll still watch it.
I'm just saying, that's kind of like the way it went down, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But you're by the way, Mr. Reed, I like to call you that. Lost Boys is definitely one of those gems that people don't give enough credit to, because that was a fucking great movie. And I'd be so bold to say it's one of my favorite vampire movies of all time.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm still looking for Santa Clara. I want to go visit.
I'm not.
I know a little bit about, you know, it was. Oh, God. Fuck. What is that? There's that show on Netflix. It's Drew Barrymore's on it, and so is the dude from
the Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah, okay. That's where it's supposed to be. And the thing is, it was supposed to take place. It was supposed to take place there. They had to change the name. And the reason why was because at the time, there was a lot of missing persons. So when they made the movie, they made it based off of the missing persons there in Santa Clarita. And because they were going to film it there, they were like, you can do that, but you're going to have to change the name. Because they didn't want to associate it with the real thing that was going on and stuff like that. They didn't want the city to look bad.
So oh, that's wild.
So
yeah, Santa Cruz to look bad.
So, sorry, like I know I can be a stickler for details sometimes. So fuck you, just up front. But Santa Clara is a real place. It's up north. It's
no,
up
it's
in Santa Clara. Dude, I used to work there. It's up in Northern California. The city that you're referring to in The Lost Boys is actually called Santa Carla, C-A-R-L-A.
Oh!
Santa Clara, C-L-A-R-A, is up north. And then I live on the other side of Santa Clarita. So, yes. I can get you to Santa Clara if you're trying to go to Santa Clara, but Santa Carla is where you would go to find your vampire hunters.
He's absolutely right, and yes, because it was a fictional place based off of the real place. And there's actually more facts. Since we're on the subject too, I want to bring these up just so I don't forget. But and we're on the subject anyway. There are a few things about Lost Boys that actually are set in stone. For one, Corey Feldman, right, his character. As one of the Frog Brothers and stuff like that. It was his debut film, and he wanted to go about his character, but he based it off of Rambo, which you can totally see in his acting. You know, obviously he's wearing the bandana and stuff like that. It's very clear, but the way he says things and everything is very Rambo-esque. All right, that's one thing. Another thing, and I found this out too recently. It is canon that the Lost Boys are supposed to be the Lost Boys that we know of in Peter Pan.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
No.
Yeah, it's very strange, but yeah, it's been solidified by Joel Schumacher, the guy who made it and stuff like that.
Yeah, dude, nice. That's cool.
Is it?
So it's a version of that. I'm sorry, go on.
No, I mean, this is more just kind of trivia than anything else. It's not directly correlated to Lost Boys directly, but the boardwalk in Us, I think, is supposed to be the same boardwalk from the Lost Boys. Or at least that's maybe what it's based on. I could be wrong, though. That just sounds right in my head for some reason.
You said the boardwalk where?
In your head. Well, no, I know what he said, because the boardwalk was where the original attack happened in Lost Boys. The carousel and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's Santa Cruz, right? I think they filmed a lot of it up there.
It is in Santa Cruz, yeah. But they made it out to be this fictional place called Santa.
Yeah, right. It's the fictional place, but it is Santa Cruz. And one last thing that's notarized there is, believe it or not, Kiefer Sutherland was not going to make an appearance in that film. He wanted nothing to do with it, but then he found out that NXS was doing the soundtrack, and he was a huge fan of NXS.
Nice.
That doesn't surprise me. The dude's a musician himself, too. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
What, you mean with the blonde mullet and stuff? I don't see it.
Matt with the mullet.
Hey, let's not forget the super sexy dude in the fucking purple spandex with that super sexy saxophone.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. You know what? Here, this is canon too. That guy's a vampire hunter.
Yes.
Nice.
That's very why fitting. He's there. That's why in the first place he was hunting vampires.
There you go.
Don't ask me how I know all this fucking shit about fucking Lost Boys. But like you, Alan, I very much like the movie, and I did deep dives into it.
Yeah, that, and then like shortly after that, I think Fright Night came out, which just kind of like
excellent.
Right? And so having like that kind of like background, and then you've got Hellraiser that came out around the same time, and or a couple years later, and I mean Pumpkinhead, Lance Hendrickson, like
Ed Hardy.
dude, the 80s was the source time of great horror.
And it was a beautiful time, because like I said, I had that, you know, green light to get any movie I wanted, and that's where I went, you
Yeah,
know,
100%.
consistently.
Dude, when I think about the horror section of my local VHS store or movie rental store, I think about some movies that are on our list, like 555 is on our list, right? I think about that. I think about 976 Evil, which I just rewatched, and oh man, it's so fucking good. I want to add that one to the list. The Gate, but like other stuff, like you said, like Pumpkinhead, just Return of the Living Dead, not even just Night of the Living Dead, but Return. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I think about all the different platforms where we can watch stuff, like Tubi, and I have another one called like Grindhouse or something, or I don't know. There's so many different fucking places to pick up all these movies, and I don't feel like we could ever like get through a decent amount of them. There's just so much out there. But I'm looking
Yeah,
forward
I
to
agree with
like taking on the challenge.
that. You know it.
Because then we get sidetracked with cool stuff like Things and Day of the Reaper, and those are gems,
People
man.
Under the Stairs.
Oh yeah, for sure. Those ones definitely sidetrack us.
Yeah, People Under the Stairs was dope. I
You
remember
know,
watching that in the theaters as well. The Jordan Peele remake is coming out soon too.
yeah.
Have you guys seen any of the images from the remake for The Crow with Bill Skarsgård?
Just the picture,
Yes, I
Tim.
did. Oh my God. I'm not a
I just
fan.
think of I hate to say it, but I think of South Park when Satan was like throwing a Halloween party. All right,
I don't
nobody come
remember.
as the crow. Nobody can be the crow.
That's funny.
There's just to me, okay, like, and I'm not gonna part with the fact that the movie's out there, it's going to be theatrical release and all that shit, but I just feel like that's a movie that should have never been touched. Why is it a movie like that can be remade and by life and limb, fucking Spielberg is definitely never gonna let Jaws be remade. And Jaws could not be remade because we know too much about sharks. It would be a very different movie anyway. But you know, no one touches it, right? Because it is the way it needs to be. And I swear to God, I felt the same way with The Crow. So it does bother me that they're remaking it because it's not going to be the same. You can't bring the whole 90s fucking grunge scene back the way you could, which iconically has like one of the greatest movie soundtracks of all time. You know, the
Agreed.
lineup with some of the greatest fucking headliners. Fuck, dude.
That's an aspect of movies that I don't think gets talked about a lot, which is like it was a time and a place. You know what I mean? Like The
Yeah,
Crow
absolutely.
or
That was one of those for sure.
Spawn or what's the hackers, right? Like you know, you think about Go and Kids and like all these movies were just like products of their time and their place. And so for you to like pluck it from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and try to modernize it, it just loses its impact and its value, I think.
Right. Try to slap it with a new fucking image or clean it up a bit and try to make it look fucking great and stuff like that. Yeah, it's all well and dandy and stuff, but you're right. There was a time and a place for it. And I
Yeah.
really don't think a movie like that will be part of the times of now and stuff like that. It
No.
feels forced. That's what it is. It feels forced. Like we have to do it.
Well, I
Just
think.
like, what's his name fucking made that remake of fucking RoboCop in 2014.
Yeah.
Where did that land him?
Yeah.
Nowhere land.
Yeah, they're working on a remake of, like I said, People Under the Stairs. So I'm interested to see how that comes out because that movie's fucking awesome. And then they're remaking Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
No.
That's so stupid. Yeah. That's
dishes
so
are
stupid.
Done on that one.
I know, man. I know. I know.
Good reference, Alan.
The internet is all a flurry about the remakes that are coming out because it's just, what? Nobody has any fucking good ideas? Matt's got a great fucking story, but where's that? You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
There's so many indie people that we've been spotlighting that are struggling to get their product created and pushed out and seen. And here you have the big Hollywood people just rehashing old shit. Like, who are you making that for? Because that movie, like, we'll just look at Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I fucking loved that movie as a kid, and I feel like it was created for me in that time. So are you remaking that for me now because you think I might be nostalgic and I'll go back and I'll spend, you know, $12 at the theater to watch it? Because I won't. Because I like what I like. Dude,
Roadhouse. They remade Roadhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I can go on forever about remakes and reboots and the whole nine. And
yeah, that'll go.
That's, yeah, without a drink, that is not what this is for. Yeah, for sure.
you know, one movie that as I was thinking through like foundational horror movies for myself, one that stood out that I don't know that I've heard brought up on the cast, Phantasm.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because
that was on the display to go to. We were going to cover that at some point.
And
nice.
It surfaced up to my brain recently as like a couple days ago because I was I don't want to give too much away, but we're going to interview somebody in the next coming weeks who that's like his favorite movie. And when he started talking about it, I was like, oh, we need to go back and watch that and review that. That needs to be on the list for sure. So
absolutely.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if it fit. It was done for like not a huge budget, but I don't know that it necessarily falls into the low budget category. I think it was like 300,000 or so in 79.
You know, what's funny is that in the beginning, Matt and I were looking at budgets. Low budget. We were looking at dollar amounts, like, is it low budget, you know? Is it going to fit our mold? And then we just gave up on, like, looking at box office numbers or whatever, because some of them don't even have those numbers available. And we were just like, fuck it. Like, whatever seems good for us and, you know, kind of fits our style. And
I like to believe that everything we've done on this show so far has been considered low budget. And I do believe Phantasm falls into the category. You got to understand, you got to look at the studios that put them out, right? It goes with the studios that put them out. They're unheard of studios. They're not fucking Warner Brothers. They're not fucking, Universal, you know, none of them are from there, you know. These are just small time things and stuff like that. Put it this way, It Follows. Here's a good example. It Follows is a very low budget movie. You know how much it costs to make that movie? $1 million.
$1 million.
By today's standards, anything under $10 million is considered a low budget feature.
Yeah, I saw Matt Damon on The Hot Ones, and he was talking about how he wanted to make some art house movie and it was going to cost $25 million to make it, but he needed to put that much into like marketing. And then what he was talking about was how the movie industry has changed, because back in the day you could afford to put money up front to make a movie because you were going to have the DVD and Blu-ray sales, right? So it could do okay in the theater, but you knew you were going to sell copies of it and make money on the back end that way. And with streaming now, that doesn't exist anymore. So with him wanting to make this movie, the idea of putting up $50 million of his own money, 25 to make the movie and 25 to advertise it, he'd have to make $50 million on the movie just to be square before you even break into profits. And like the idea that an art house movie that like only him and like, you know, a couple other people are interested in doing would make $50 million in the box office was like, you know, kind of far fetched. So they didn't do it, you know? So it's crazy when we talk about budgets, how like, even on a large scale, like sometimes it just doesn't make sense to make stuff because it's not, they know it's not going to make any money.
Good point. And like, not to mention, sorry. No, I'll go on.
Oh, you just reminded me of like of one of the sound bites from the last episode with Sam Curtin and crew that, you know, if the momentum for the movie stops, then the movie dies and never gets made, you know, and that's a great example of like, you know, you got to look at the funds and sometimes it doesn't make sense, which stinks because there's so much great ideas that need to be out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that comes with time in the seat, because then you get indie filmmakers who like, this is the first thing, I want to get it going, I don't care what the challenges are, I'm going to overcome them and I'm going to do them, and that's it. But like, even to an indie filmmaker, you know, a budget of, you know, $10,000 is the equivalent of what $50 million might be to Matt Damon, you know? But a wise man once said, you gotta know when to hold them and you gotta know when to fold them. So
he is a wise man.
Stupid. I can't believe you even said that.
Hey man,
this guy,
I don't often have those kinds of moments, so I shot my shot. Yeah,
good job, dude. Good segue.
All right, fellas, anything we're looking forward to in our new endeavor? I gotta kind of wrap it up here.
No, maybe just trying to continue the momentum that's already been in place and enhance as I go along. But I'm happy to be a part of the team and looking forward to seeing where I can add value here.
Heck yeah. Fucking A.
Yeah, I just go as far as to say exactly what Alan said here. Like, this is Mutant City Horror. And this is something that we all like to do. And we're going to be in it to, I wouldn't say to win it, but in it for, you know, for anybody who's fans of the art of horror films and stuff like that, just like we are. That's why we're here. That's why we do it. And, you know, we just do what we got to do. And that's, you know.
Matt reminds me of that scene from Born in East L.A. where Cheech Marin was in the jail. And those guys were like, hey, man, I like your shirt. I like your shoes. I like your pants. And the other guy's like, yeah, man, take off your pants. And he gets all nervous and he's like, what are you guys in for? And they're like, good times.
That's it.
Matt's just here for the good times. <That's it.
laughs> Nah, man, and I'm here for the future. I'm here for these noobs that come in and think they know what a good fucking horror movie is. You haven't seen a good horror movie.
That's a whole nother conversation, man, because, you know, in going to all these cons and talking to newer, like talking with other podcasts, I mean, you know, we are all north of 40 and a lot of the people who do what we do are kind of south of that number. And so they came up in a time where like in the time span that we were all enjoying it and this, you know, Jason and, sorry, Alan, I forgot what yours was.
Freddy.
Yeah. Theirs was, you know, Ghostface from Scream.
Yeah.
And that seems
he's like still within the same range, man. 100%. 80s, 90s.
No, I mean, Scream came out like late to, you know, early 99. To mid
2000s. It came in 1996.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit.
You're right. It is 96.
Okay. But like, see,
well,
like,
what
we were watching movies in 86. You know, those are so completely different.
But
so
I still was loving these movies in 96. I love Scream.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, it's just I understand.
Or The Purge. You know, like that they grew up with good. The Purge.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I get where they're coming from because those were the movies of their time. And we are a little biased sometimes because we came before that in the middle of like the 80s boom of, you know, horror slashers and
you guys that came after the 2000s, I'm sorry to say our movies were better than yours. I'm so sorry to say that, but it's true.
I mean, I sorry not sorry.
Sorry not sorry, for sure. But you know, anyway,
everybody's got bangers.
No, nah, anyone who's listening to this podcast right now They are fans of horror, and whether they came out in the later 2000s and stuff like that, and they love those movies and stuff like that, the ones that are listening to this podcast right now are the ones who had respect for the ones before that too. And that's our target audience, you know, like the origins of where this stuff came from and stuff. It's not the people that are just coming into it and telling me that I'm trying to think of a good one that just came out that just sucked, because there's a lot of, oh, how about the remake of Child's Play? Ones that were introduced to horror with the remake of Child's Play and don't have any respect for the ground material that it came from and shit. They can go suck a dick. Sorry to
Yeah, that's
say.
hard, is the people who grow up on the remakes, you know, thinking like theirs is the version. It's like,
Go back and watch the originals and tell me that
I
you
will
don't like
say I grew up on the 80s version, you know, Cronenberg's version of The Fly, and that is the remake. So like I can't be too hard on people like that, but also I think anything 80s kind of trumps whatever movie was remade, whatever 80s and like early 90s movies were remade, those suck for the most part. There are some good ones, but
Well, I mean, look, the Fly was made in the 80s, right? Again, I digress. The 80s kind of brought horror into the map. Because what you're talking about is like, you know, the 50s horror, where people weren't sure if they really liked horror or not. It was kind of like a hit or a miss and stuff. I like to believe that the 80s themselves kind of brought it onto the map. Well, I mean, if you didn't have, and I'm going to consider Halloween part of that, even though it was made in 79, well, it didn't really distribute until the 80s and stuff like that. But that's where you had the origin of the slasher films. And slashers were kind of will be considered a naysayer for everyone's parents. Like, hey, mom and dad, we're going to go see a movie with sex and violence, and it was kind of an angsty way to say like, fuck your politically correct shit. We're gonna go watch the naughty and the nasty type shit, right? And that's where it kind of came from. And it boomed from there. Then you started having fucking camp out slashers, and you started having sleepover slashers, dream slashers, and slashers of all types.
And
And
here
on
we
that
are,
note,
ready to review all of them.
right?
That's
Yeah.
it.
Let's do it.
I may be providing a little bit of the context, because I think a few of those remakes are quality, you know? And so like you said, I may be a little bit of a different view and voice amongst this, and I'm looking forward to the debate and
Yeah, there you
discussion
go. The mediator.
and what the fans think too, you
That's
know?
true.
Ultimately, that's while we're doing this for ourselves, it, you know, that's the selfish element. The reality is, like, we're also doing it for everybody else, you know?
Good point. All right, fellas, I got to skedaddle.
Right on, man. Thank you. Thank you,
Stoked that you're here,
fellas. Looking
Reedy.
forward.
Can't wait to keep the ball going. Matthew, always great to
Yes,
see you, brother.
sir. It's good having you guys. Good doing another podcast. Welcome.
Hell yeah.
Welcome, Alan.
All right. We'll see you guys on the next one.
All right.
Peace out.